a blessing to be among my brothers and sisters, but it's also more of a blessing to be here on a specific day, which is called the Communion Sabbath Day. This is a very high Sabbath. It's not just a memorial Sabbath, but it reflects back of what our whole system of belief is all about. It's about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. This message that I have entitled here this morning, it's called Look and Live. It's a message that was purely for me, more than it is for you. But I wanted to go ahead and share it just in case that there is someone out there that may have for some reason fallen into the hands of Satan and into his grasp, where you begin to feel doubt that your walk with Christ is what it should be. For if you're like me, you would know that how important it is that to be able to stand up here before my brothers and sisters, or to be able to proclaim this for the last 21 years of my life, and to present yourself among people, and for some reason or matter, my character of Adonis comes out more than the character of Christ. It becomes very, very hard for me to deal with. And I'm not sure if it's hard for you to deal with if you begin to see yourself rise up while you proclaiming to be of God. Well, this message was probably the only message that has helped me, and I hopefully this message will help you. But before we get started this morning, I want this message to be a message of joy. I want you to realize that unless you can present joy of your walk in Christ, then it probably will avail nothing to others out there. It's like purchasing a product. You don't want to purchase a product that has very no shine to it. It's like buying a car and it has no gleam to it, you know, or to having a wonderful meal that doesn't taste good, you know. I want to present this message before we leave here that you may have the experience that I have had, that experience of knowing that one sinner repent, there is so much joy in heaven. And so I want you to realize that this morning. But before we get started, I would like for you to bow your heads that I may present the Heavenly Father. Thank you so kindly for your encouragement, for allowing me to be up here, Lord, to be among my brothers and sisters, and prayerfully that your words will be out of my mouth and my experience that I have will be a living testimony to them, that they may hopefully, Lord, be able to grasp that I have here this morning. So I invite your Holy Spirit to be here, that I may be able to speak with power and with love. In these things I pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. My opening scripture is found in Psalms. I'm going to speak pretty fast because I am very limited in my time. They say I only have 15 to 20 minutes, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get this message across in that length of time. However, this is only a glimpse. The whole Bible is here for you and I, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. I mean, the more I look at the Bible, the more I see what's in the Bible, the more I fall in love with God. It's like a diamond. Every turn you take and twist it, you begin to see more and more of it, all the way from creation to the fall, to the resurrection of Christ, to his second coming, and then to heaven. I mean, the more you open the Bible, the more the encouragement, the more you begin to see, the more you will begin to enjoy living on earth. Amen? Well, the Bible says in the book of Psalms 19, it says to the chief musician, it says in Psalms of David, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. In verse 3, it says, there is no speech, no language, where their voices is not heard. We know from the Bible that when God is speaking about the heavens and is speaking about the glory, he is speaking about the character of God. It says it in Exodus 33:18 that Moses wanted to know what the glory of God was, and it was to that he asked, "Show me thy glory," and he mentioned that it is his goodness, it is his graciousness, and it is his mercy. Now, how one, as they look into the heavens and they look into the stars, that they can see God's glory, that they can see his majestic beauty? Well, one day as I was contemplating upon this, I began to look up. I don't know if you guys had the chance to go up to a volcano in the middle of the night, about 8 o'clock at night. You will begin to see some beautiful, beautiful stars open up before you. There are technicians up there with large telescopes, and it's open to the public, and you can see the beauty that is up there. I highly recommend that you get a chance to go ahead. But as I look upon the stars as a human being, I would maybe, if there was 1,000 missing, it probably wouldn't matter to me, because there is so many stars up there. If there was 1 billion, it probably wouldn't matter to me, because there is so many stars. If there were trillions of stars that was missing up there, it probably wouldn't matter to me. But our great physician, the steward over all creation, who is Jesus Christ, if one star was missed, was one star was made out of place, if one planet was missing, he would recognize it. He would notice that. And the same way is his character for you and I. I'm not saying that God's character is just purely goody-two-shoes here this morning. I don't want you to get that before you leave. Because God, in his scriptures, it says it in Romans 6:1, he says, you know, he's come to save you and I, and he's come to save us because we are lost, we are in sin. And because we are with Christ, he does not want to give us to think that it's okay, even though he has so much love. He says, what shall we say then? In Romans 6:1, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? Again, the character of Christ demonstrates and illustrates to us that he does not want us to sin. Yes, he loves us. Yes, he cares about us. But sin separates him from his Father, separated him from us. And it was because of his death and his resurrection of life that we may have unity back with the Father. I don't know about you, but I was very fond of my father. I loved my father very much. When my father passed away, I don't recognize it until recently that how much I miss conversing with him, how much I miss he calling me and speaking to me. And because now he lay at rest, I cannot communicate with him. So I can't imagine what sin has done and the separation has done for eternity between Christ and his Father. Amen? Also in 1 John, again it tells us, he says, my little children, 1 John 2:1, it says, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. Our God is so forgiving, and he sees that he knows each and every one of us, sometime or another, is going to sin. No matter how much and how much you come to God, and he has the power, enabling power, we as human beings must face the fact that we are sinful creatures, and we, at times, brothers and sisters, will fall. And we must realize this. If you do not realize that you will fall, chances are you have fallen already. I want you to realize that. Because the more you realize that the blade is sharper, the more you realize that you won't get cut. But when the blade begins to get dull, you begin to get careless with it. What's the same way with our walk in life? You must realize that that's your character. Can it be changed? True, it can be changed. But only with Christ can it be changed. Amen? You know, as I mentioned, the Bible itself, Matthew 4:4 instructs us and gives us an ideal purpose. It says, but he answered and said, it is written, this is Christ, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for the instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. The emphasis here that I would like to place on is God's life is in the Word. His life, as we read it, we have life. The more we read it, there is more life. The word is inspiration. Inspire means living. Expire means death. So inspire and expire is the opposite. And his scriptures is from Genesis all the way to Revelation. There is so much life. There is so much health that he has in for us. But I want to not contemplate so much on that we fall a lot, you know. But I want to contemplate more on Jesus, more on how he deals with you and I. In the book of Romans 6:23, the Bible is clear and it shows, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus himself does not want to leave us in guilt. He does not want to leave us in an unpeaceful manner. He wants to give us hope. And yes, we have sinned. Yes, we have fallen. Yes, we have gone astray. Numerous, over and over and over. It says in the Bible, if someone should sin, I think 70 times 7, still go ahead and forgive that individual. You know, and so it's something that, yes, we can overcome and we will overcome. Amen? But it's only through compliance and submission to Jesus Christ, which he offers us the hope, which is the gift of eternal life. Amen? He says it again here in John 16:7. John 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Again in 16:13, he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. In John 14, verse 6, as we begin to accept Christ this morning, and as we begin to open the Word, Jesus gave us a special gift, and that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we know that because he did ascend. And so when he ascended, this gift came upon you and I. This gift is to empower us. This gift is to give us a mindset of new changes in the way we think. You know, the Bible is so rich, and it teaches us. God knows if we only see him as he really is, we'll be able to make a proper decision. Seeing God the way he really is helps us to make his proper decision. It says it here in Romans 2:4. All despises thou riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And so knowing God will help us. How do we know God? It's by reading the Word. How do we know God? It's by seeing him in nature. But in order to see him in nature, in order to see him in the Word of God, you must see the true spirit between the right and the wrong. Because we must share what God has for you and I. Meaning, we must share the gospel. But sharing the gospel is not an easy task to do. It's not just delivering a book and just say, okay, here you go, go ahead and read this Bible and expect it to happen. It takes more than that. Sometimes you have to rebuke an individual. But how to rebuke the individual is very, very, very hard to do. It's not easy to do, because we must do it in the right spirit as well. And at the same time, we must not be too lenient and allow sin to continue and continue reign and keep patting him in the back. So a Christian walk is not a very easy walk. It's not just present the Bible, say, go ahead and read, and that individual will be successful. It takes more than, it takes the right understanding of understanding the right spirit of God. Amen? For the Bible also teaches us this. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And Leviticus teaches us, in Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I give it unto you upon an altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that make an atonement for the souls. Again, as we begin to kind of contemplate upon this thought about blood, you know, in a physical sense, we can see that if somebody needs some blood transfusion, we can go ahead and get blood, and this individual, prayerfully, the blood is healthy enough, and that individual will be able to get stronger and continue on. But it takes more than this. It takes a spiritual sense takes God, actually, his life, his spirit, actually running inside our veins in order for us to have life. Amen? And he has done exactly that for us. The meat of this message that I want you to understand here is found in Luke. And you can turn there. It's found in Luke chapter 15, verse 1. When I read this first 10 chapters in Luke, it really helped me to see the character of truly of God. And it shows here, it says in verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. In verse 2, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. You know, previous to this, Christ, he's been socializing with the Pharisees, with the lawyers, and he was showing them his character. He was showing them in ways he wouldn't do a direct rebuke. A lot of times he would show them in examples. Well, this time, he's here with the publicans, he's here with the sinners. His character now is reaching out to those that we ourselves probably, unless we have the right spirit, would kind of look back and say, why should we even associate with these guys? But here he is here, he's associating, he's making himself available to these guys. So the right spirit of God is going after those that are actually have a really character that is further and further than God can imagine. But here he is, and he is making himself available. He draws near to them. But also the publicans here and the sinners, they're drawing near to him, you know. There's a reason for all of this. And the Pharisees and the scribes, and they're looking at this, and they even make this comment, you know, that this man received sinners. They insinuated that he really was insensitive to their defilement or their wickedness, and they really felt rebuked because these individuals that came to Jesus would not go into the sanctuary. These individuals would not want to hear the condemnation upon them from the Pharisees or from the lessons that they are given. So these individuals will remain outside of coming into the sanctuary. But here, Jesus is, he's drawing them to him. They want to associate with him. And so it really expressed their displeasure upon Jesus, because his method, they felt that it was really bringing a rebuke to them. But more than that, they felt that how could he be a man of God? If he's a man of God, he should be associating with us. We're in the sanctuary. We are the church leaders. We are the people who know God. But here, the Bible teaches us a lesson that Jesus wanted to send home to them. And he wants to speak to us. And he spake unto them, verse 3, this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he has found it, he lay it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he coming home, he called it together, his family, his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Again I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. If you understand the shepherds, how important it is, there are a lot of investments in the sheep. The sheep does a lot of great things. It helps to spread the dung. The dung helps to fertilize the ground. The ground becomes nourished. It also acts as clothing for them. It also has food for them. And so this was a very, very hot commodity, should we say, that a lot of people want to get their hands on. But these shepherds, they knew the investment of one sheep. And they would go and search it with anxiety. If they would count and they would look over the sheep and they would see if this sheep would be missing, they would leave immediately. They would go into the cliffs. They would go even to where, if there would be just a light faint, and the closer they got and more that faint would go, the shepherd would realize that more and more that this sheep, it would be ready to die. And this, you know, if you understand sheep, if it's without a shepherd, it is really lost. And if they're lost, guess what happened? The wolves will eat them. Well, I also want you to see that in this message of not only the way and the manner of how Jesus is revealing to them, because these men should be actually doing all they can to bring these guys into the sanctuary. These are the ones, the very ones Jesus is looking for, because these are the lost ones. These are not the 99 that is in the fold, that is sitting comfortably in the bleachers. But the character of Christ is so wonderful here that he gives me so much hope, because I'm that lost sheep. And I don't know if you feel that you are that lost sheep. But why it brings me so much hope is that Christ, when the shepherd, as you read the shepherd, he didn't scold these sheep that it was lost. You know, sometimes the characteristics of loss are those that maybe, you know, their character is so strong, they're into, I don't know, drugs, or maybe they, whatever it is, they're listening to the wrong music, they're wearing the wrong clothes, they got all of these things on them, and they don't want to hear any more words about gospel, about Jesus Christ. These are the very ones that Christ, or the shepherd, would go out to seek for. Amen? But what is interesting about this lesson is that he just puts it on his shoulders. He uses his strength. As I mentioned, he sends you the Holy Spirit. He empowers you. He gives you the strength to be able to go out there and to be able to carry and bring them in. Amen? But what he also does here, and he reveals to you and me, that as you read real closely, for those of you who are following, it says, when he cometh home, okay, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Beloved, if you like me to feel that you are that sheep that was lost, you can see here from the Word of God, that it is clear that Christ does not and he will not lose a sheep. He will not lose a sheep that does not resist him at all. And I want to build confidence in you today that you will not be lost as long as you do not resist Christ. Even if you have fallen 100 times, even if you have fallen 1,000 times, I want you to realize that Christ, in this scripture right here, beloved, it says that he puts the lost sheep on his shoulders. It says that he comes home. It says that he comes home and calls his family. This is triumph. This is victory. This is the cross, what Jesus was talking about. Amen? And it says here also that there is a party. Because he says here, I say in verse 7, unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. You know, for testimony in the Bible, the book of Psalms 119, 176, David himself fell into this situation that was a very terrible situation. For we all know it, he went ahead and he saw this, went on, on the top of his building, and he saw this beautiful woman over there, and he went ahead and sent this beautiful woman to send her husband to go out in the front to go ahead and get himself killed. That was a very great, great, great sin. But you can see him here in his words. He says, I have gone astray. This is David, like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Amen? Another is found in Micah 7:18. It says, who is like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retained not his anger forever because he delighted in mercy. Amen? Beloved, this is the God that you and I serve. This is what helps me continue on. This is what helps me to continue on speaking. This is what helps me continue on living, beloved, is that God looks at me as a sinner. But yet he looks at me in a way that he has so much more compassion, so much more love, so much more mercy. The further I get, the closer he gets to me. So no matter how far you get, beloved, as long as you do not resist God, I want you to know that God is there. Amen? And he will bring you back. I don't know how he's going to do it. But hang on to that faith, because he will bring you back. And we're not going to come back just coming back into the bleachers. But you will come back with fire. You will come back with joy. You will come back so thankful that you want to do something for the Lord. Amen? If somebody asks you to go call Porter program, it will not be a hesitation. If somebody asks you to come up here and do this, what I'm doing, and you haven't spoken any words, you will do it. Amen? You know, the Bible has another lesson. It talks about the woman, pretty much the same characteristics. It always ends up losing it. This is the 10 pieces. If she loses one of those pieces, dark, dingy room, falls on the dust, sweeping, she will look high and low. You know, back in those days, there weren't windows. Everything was just one big box, really small, and just dust all over the ground. But they will search and search and search. And when they find that one piece of cone, guess what? They will go ahead, because they're worth so much value. They are so much in poverty. What they will do? They will go ahead and call their friends and celebrate again. Again, it shows again and again and again that the character which is in the Bible here is going to save you. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is going to save you. Because every time where I read in the Bible, if I have come to him and repented to him, every time in the Bible it shows to me that there is victory. It shows it again over here. It says here in Luke 15, verse 9 and 10, it says, and when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which was lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repented. Amen. Again, over and over, the characteristics of the Bible, the characteristics of our God, is a God that will save you and I. It says it here in Romans. And I say this because it is difficult. It is difficult for me to deal with, probably with a lot of you here, some of you here, and I haven't seen or been around you. But let me tell you, for some of the short things that I do see, it is difficult for me to just sit there and listen to Sabbath school classes and listen to comments and all that. It is a challenge, I can tell you that. But because of God's love, beloved, I can understand, and he's showing me that, Adonis, you don't understand really what I'm really all like. It says it here in Romans 3:11. There is none that understand it. There is none that seek it after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become profitable. There is none. Again, the Bible is clear that you and I don't understand God. We don't really understand his love and how he can go at so depth to save something like me or something like you. But you know what? As I begin to read from the very foundation of the Word of God, it says, right, in the book that I've read, that it was three times, not once, but three times that he went in to converse with his Father, to speak with his Father over the decision of saving humanity. And he himself just so loved the world, he just so loved what he has made, that he was so willing to separate from all just to be with you and I. And to me, brothers, that in me just brings so much peace. And I hope that brings to my last verse here that I want to leave with you. It's found in Hebrews. It's chapter 12, verse 2. Go ahead and turn there. Hebrews 12, 2. I want you to see the character of Christ, that he is victorious here. He is victorious. He says this. My message today is to look and live. And so it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, that doeth good, no, not one. Amen. This message is a very powerful message. And if you can understand your true mission, that it's more than just being nice. It's more than just being loving. It's being that way with others you dislike or hard to be with. You see, the character of Christ is pure. There is no hesitation, because he knows if he does not come out that way towards you and I, you will be lost. You will be lost, and others will be lost around you. I just want you to know something also, that I don't want to come across so that Jesus does not hold back when it comes to those who do not want him as well. That's his love. He gives us that choice. The choice to decide that we don't have to accept his love. We don't have to allow him to come into our life. That's our God. But who wouldn't want that? Who really wouldn't want God in our lives? Amen? That's all I have this morning. I hope my words here this morning was words to encourage you. Maybe it might not hit you this morning, but maybe when you go home in your darkness and you're settling down, I know that my words here will never go void. But I can assure you, if you follow these words, our luncheon is going to be beautiful with beautiful saints. Amen? But we still have a communion to follow and finish. Brother Brian will dismiss us.